This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we start today with news around the continuing crisis of homelessness, addiction, mental health at Mass Ave and Melnea Cass Boulevard. The temporary court set up at the South Bay House of Correction has been ended. That court, which was labeled a community response session, was established 3 weeks ago in conjunction with then-acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey's executive order to remove tents and temporary shelters from public spaces. You might recall that WBUR's Deborah Becker was at the court the day it began proceedings. Now, the termination of the community response session comes as Mayor Michelle Wu has also suspended tent and shelter removal in the area. The ACLU challenged the process in court, but a judge ruled last week the city could continue. Wu has chosen not to. And WBUR's Deborah Becker joins us now. Deb, when did the court session officially end, and how much notice was there?
There wasn't much notice. The session was meeting 3 days a week, so its last day was Wednesday because it was only meeting Monday through Wednesday. But the order to create the court was officially rescinded on Friday by the trial court. No one was really sure whether it was going to meet today as scheduled. So on Friday, the court did rescind that order. And a statement from the trial court said the court session would no longer be operating because there were too few cases, and cases from the so-called Mass and Cass neighborhood would instead be transferred to other courts.
So remind us how it even came about in the first place. Who authorized it? Why, etc.?
Well, the court session was authorized by the trial court to hear cases of those with outstanding criminal warrants who frequent the nearby tent encampment. Boston officials said the court would only deal with those who had outstanding warrants for serious crimes. Suffolk County Sheriff Steve Tompkins, who oversees the jail in which the session was held, said that it was designed as a way to get people off the streets and into addiction treatment. He is simultaneously trying to renovate some floors of a building on his jail campus to convert it into an involuntary addiction treatment center. And Suffolk DA Rachel Rollins, who appeared at the court for its first day in operation, said it wasn't necessarily ideal to have a court session operating inside a jail, but she said it was the only option on the table and action needed to be taken right away to address the public health and safety issues stemming from the encampment. She directly said, quote, "This isn't a fake court," and the proceedings would be held like typical court proceedings are.
Some advocates expressed concerns about the court session from the very beginning. Deb, what were those concerns?
I think they were concerned about the setting, being inside a jail, on principle, really. And they were worried about whether the proceedings would be conducted following the law. I spoke with Anthony Benedetti, who's chief counsel for the state's public defender agency, and he said he was opposed to the idea of the court even before the session began. This is what he said.
It's still a house of correction. We made our opposition to that very vocal, that the idea that they're being brought to a so-called courthouse where, you know, there is nobody, almost nobody there from the court. How is anyone going to look at it as a court?
And Tiziana, there were demonstrators outside of the jail for many of the 9 days that it operated this month, and they basically said the court session was criminalizing mental health and addiction.
So as you just noted, 9 days of operation this month. Of the people who were processed at the court, what happened with their cases?
Well, most of those who appeared at the session had outstanding warrants for minor charges. Many were either released, sent to treatment, or sent to another court outside the jurisdiction of the Boston Municipal Court, which presided over this court session remotely. And there were controversies involved. One man was held on an outstanding operating under the influence charge in Fitchburg. The judge ordered him held at the Worcester County Jail to appear on that warrant. And there was a COVID outbreak at the Worcester Jail when he was sent there. At least one person was taken into custody while waiting at a clinic to get daily methadone. And Mayor Michelle Wu called it unacceptable for police to make an arrest while someone was waiting to get addiction medication. So advocates said the court didn't provide enough medical oversight for those brought in, didn't accommodate English speakers. So it was roughly fewer than half of those who went there were actually sent to treatment.
So you said earlier, too few cases. Is there a judgment involved in this closing, Deb, or was it just sort of done?
Well, it doesn't appear to have been well thought out from the beginning. The sheriff said people would be brought in and offered treatment at the treatment facility at his jail, but that facility doesn't have approval to be operating yet. And then the city said only those with outstanding warrants for serious crimes would be brought in, but many of those were arrested that same day on low-level crimes. And in some of the sessions, I observed Boston Municipal Court Judge Paul Tressler was very adamant about people going back to courts where their criminal warrants originated before he would make a decision on any treatment plan. Here's one exchange between Judge Tressler and Prosecutor Mariah O'Rourke.
Judges, prior to the inception of this session, where the purpose of it is to connect
people... You don't have to remind me what the purpose of the session is. This is still a courtroom, and it's still a court of law.
So while there were only a few cases to be heard, there also appeared to be a lack of clarity on what this session was supposed to accomplish exactly.
So while we have you, Deb, I know you were there at the end of last week. I'd like to ask you what it was like in the area around Mass Ave and Melnia Class Boulevard now that the city has ended, at least for now, the tent removal actions. Has anything changed for people in the neighborhood?
Well, I think it's changed somewhat. There are fewer tents. Mayor Wu said she was stopping this on Wednesday morning, stopping the removal of tents on Wednesday morning. So it's been a relatively short period of time. There are still estimated to be anywhere between 70 and 80 tents on the streets, but many of those moved from the very dense part of the encampment to another area a few blocks away. Because of the removals the city has done over the past few weeks, the city says about 150 people have been placed in shelter, 126 of them in addiction treatment programs. So there are fewer tents on the street, but it appears that some of them are moving to other areas, and it's unclear whether they'll come back.
And what kind of reactions, Deb, have you heard to Mayor Wu's decision to stop removing tents and temporary shelters, at least for now?
Well, I think everyone agrees that it's dangerous for people to live on the streets, especially with winter approaching here in New England. Some say the city should not remove the tents because many people don't have anywhere else to go. They say there first needs to be some type of so-called low-threshold housing for people, especially those who can't go to homeless shelters for a variety of reasons, such as substance use or mental health issues. And I spoke with Sue Sullivan with the Newmarket Business Association. I spoke with her today, and she said the city should continue to remove the tents. She was in the neighborhood today, as she is most days, and she said there are more tents and more violence. Let's listen.
I really believe the city needs to start moving from tent to tent and getting people into housing or treatment shelter again, because since it stopped, it has not become any better and has actually become, you know, some of the areas that had got tents removed on Atkinson Street, there are tents that have filled in there.
And as you mentioned, Tiziana, there was a lawsuit from the American Civil Liberties Union. And as a result of that suit, even though the judge sided with the city, essentially, the city is meeting with the ACLU and other advocates to come up with plans for more shelter and housing options.
All right. WBUR's Deborah Becker. Deb, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And we're going to stay on the issue of this suit. Carol Rose is the executive director of the ACLU of Massachusetts, which, as we've said, has sued the city of Boston over tent removal and destruction of personal possessions. Carol, welcome back to Radio Boston.
It's great to be back. Thank you.
So, Carol, the suit. Why sue the city of Boston over then-acting Mayor Kim Janey's tent removal policy? What about what the city was doing breaks the law?
So the ACLU filed this lawsuit actually on November 5th in order to protect the constitutional rights and the safety of people living unhoused in the area of Mass Avenue and Melnia Cass Boulevard. And basically what the lawsuit does is to try to stop the city from driving people out from Mass and Cass without first identifying actual viable alternative housing options and also making sure that their property isn't destroyed, leaving them without things like access to their clothing or their vital papers, like their identification papers and things like that.
Carol, what if that violates constitutional rights? Just for the layperson, where in that is the violation of constitutional rights?
So there's a number of violations. So there's a cruel and unusual punishment under the Eighth Amendment. There's the notion of taking away somebody's property without any due process, taking them, destroying their housing, their shelter, destroying their identification cards and things like that. And then the other, there are claims under the Americans with Disabilities Act, so not having a reasonable accommodation or an alternative to arrest, because a lot of people can't go into the kind of congregate shelters the city was offering. And finally, you know, and I think fundamentally, it violates the Massachusetts Civil Rights Act, because you cannot use a threat of imprisonment of someone as a way to get them to be displaced, right? And so either you move or else I will arrest you when you haven't committed a crime. So the notion of sort of threatening people is a violation of their civil rights if you don't have anywhere for them to go.
And to clarify, that was that if we offer you alternative shelter and you refuse, you might be able to be arrested for disorderly conduct, was what the executive order says. So I recognize that there are issues of compassion, empathy, there are moral obligations here, Carol, I do. For a minute, I want to stay just with the law. What of claims that people are there illegally and are creating immediate risk to public health and safety by being there? A lot of the longer-term solutions, establishing additional housing units, getting shelters to change policies to better meet the needs of those actively addicted, those things could take a while. So what of these other claims about immediate illegality and need for public safety?
Okay, so first of all, you can't just say we're going to criminalize poverty or homelessness or mental health or substance use disorder, right? That's not the way the law works. You can't say, well, because you're here, I'm going to make it a crime for you to exist if you have nowhere else to go. And the problem is that for a lot of these people, there is not other, the city wasn't making anything else available and no other place for them to go. So it's pushing them into their cars or pushing them under bridges, but taking away their only shelter, which may just be a tent. Is a clear violation of their rights. And despite what the city officials were saying, that they were offering them alternatives, in many instances they were not actually able to offer them alternatives because people weren't able to access the shelters, the kind of congregate shelters that were being offered, for a whole variety of reasons, from their disability they couldn't go in because of their, they might have been banned from the shelters because they have substance use disorder and they can't get into the shelters. So there's a whole myriad of really complicated and complex reasons that people weren't able to just go into the very limited amount of shelters, type of shelter that were being offered. So what we're hoping
and to understand the basics here, and again, I really want to comb this out because we haven't had a chance to do this yet. So there is nothing illegal about establishing the temporary shelters or tents on public property or private property in the area.
Right, in and of itself. That is in and of itself not a crime.
Great, thank you. So then my other question is the competing claims of local businesses, for example, who are saying this is affecting our ability to operate, it's affecting public safety of our workers, et cetera. How do you fit that? I mean, this is really complex. So how do you fit that in this landscape, and what do you say about their legal rights?
Well, I think the most important thing to recognize is that using this incarceration approach, you know, the policing and jailing people approach, actually doesn't keep the business leaders safe either, these businesses or the community people safe either. And we learned that because in August of 2019, the Boston Police Department went through and did what they called Operation, quote, Clean Sweep, as if the people there are garbage. And what happened is they swept everybody out, they got rid of the tents and all those things, and then, of course, just 2 years later, it's back, and there are more people. So what we've learned is by taking this carceral approach to addressing these complex overlapping issues, we don't actually solve the problem for the people on the streets, and we don't solve the problem for the community and business leaders either. So that's why it's so important that people come together, and hopefully with our with Mayor Wu in charge, we're going to be able to come together and pretty quickly come up with some alternatives. You know, we were able to do it and find housing pretty quickly for people during COVID. There's really no reason we can't do that again other than the lack of political will.
Are you at the table with new members of Mayor Wu's administration? Are you having policy conversations with them?
Well, we're having conversations, you know, through the lawsuit, through the court case. And then we're hoping there's a coalition that's been created of public health leaders called Public Health and Human Rights for Mass and Cast Coalition. And they're trying to get a seat at the table, too, because those are the people who actually have the expertise of how to address the public health issues that are coming up at Mass and Cast and the human needs that are coming up. And rather than taking a law enforcement or carceral approach, they're taking a public health approach. And the ACLU believes that that approach is the right way to go. And that, in fact, those are the people, even more than the ACLU, who need to be at the table.
So in our last few seconds, winter is coming, and having members of a vulnerable population sleeping in tents during a New England winter is not safe for them. With the things you just said in mind, is there a way forward you'd like to see in just a couple sentences?
Sure. I think that there are lots of ways forward. There could be arrangements made with local hotels where they could find shelter and those kinds of things. We've done that before, but what doesn't work is taking away their tents and making them still sleep on the streets. That is not an option that would keep them safe, and that's not an option that will keep the business and community people safe either.
That is Carol Rose, Executive Director of the ACLU of Massachusetts. Carol, I appreciate that. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you.